I did the middle section, and now I get to do the last section. Certainly the theme of Psalm 119, all right, big quiz. The theme of Psalm 119 is the Word of God. And it is a theme that is woven through this chapter in almost every verse. Some people debate whether it's in every verse or mentioned or referred to in every verse, but in 176 verses, almost every verse mentions God's word. And there are 8 different words in the Hebrew that are used to describe God's law. So it's not the same word every time. There's 8 different Hebrew words that the author uses to talk about or to refer to God's word. So I'm going to tell you what they are, and each of them have a little bit of a different meaning. So of course, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation. So Dabar, D-A-B-A-R, is used 24 times, and it means God's spoken or revealed word. Imrah is used 19 times. It's another way to say word or anything God has spoken, commanded, or promised. So it's a little bit of a nuance between Dabar and Imrah. Chukim, C-H-U-Q-Q-I-M, is statutes. See, these are rules that God has given to his people, and it can be translated laws. Mishpatim, or judgments, is used 23 times. It's also a word for statutes and can be translated... Is that me? Oh, that's embarrassing. It can be translated judgments or rules or rulings. Torah, we all know what Torah means, right? What does the Torah mean? Torah means the law. It's like to refer to the first 5 books, the Pentateuch. But it refers to the law. It's used 25 times, and its literal translation means law or teaching or even revelation. Miswa, also there's 2 words for it. I'm not even going to pronounce because I didn't get the first pronunciation right. I'm not going to give you the second one. Used 22 times, and this is commands. When someone in authority, or in this case God, uses that place of authority to tell you what to do or tell you orders that you should do this. Pikudim is precepts. It's used 21 times. And these 21 times give us help when we want to know what to do. So these precepts help us when we don't know what to do. It's his precepts, his teachings that we follow to help us navigate what path is in front of us. And then finally, the 8th one is Edith, or testimonies. This is 23 times, used 23 times. And these are the things that also God tells us to do related to his covenant or to his promise. So each one of these 8 words are referred to God's word in a little bit of a different way. So I thought that was interesting. But it's been a nice journey through this book, and today we are going to conclude it. So let's read it first, and then we'll open in prayer. So verse 161, Psalm 119, verse 161, through the end of the chapter. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of thy words. I rejoice at thy word as one who finds great spoil. I hate and despise falsehood, but I love thy law. 7 times a day I praise thee because of thy righteous ordinances. Those who love thy law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. I hope for thy salvation, O Lord, and do thy commandments. My soul keeps thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. Let my lips utter praise, for thou dost teach me thy statutes. Let my tongue sing of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. Let thy hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I long for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, that it may praise thee, and let thine ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Let's open in prayer. Lord, your word is truth. Your word is a light to our path. We're thankful that we have this light to guide our paths so that it can keep us from stumbling. Lord, navigate us and illuminate us through your word. Help us to navigate. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So I'd just like to work through this verse by verse and give us a quick meditation on this word. So let's just go through a couple of verses at a time. So first, in verse 161, we see princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of thy words. I rejoice at thy word as one who finds great spoil. The word of God does not show partiality between economic or social classes. The poor as well as the rich are searching for peace. Christians of all means and walks of life have peace and live with a contentment that no prince can buy. It's free. It's not easy because it's contrary to everything that we think. But the burden is light. Man, in his sin, persecutes Christians because of the peace that they want, but they can't earn it. They can't buy it. They can't put things together to make it happen here on this earth at their own means. Therefore, we expect persecution from princes and from all people who are not in Christ. Verse 162 calls it a treasure, and the Christian can rejoice in this treasure that it brings us this peace. 163 says, I hate and despise falsehood, but I love thy law. Seven times a day I praise thee because of thy righteous ordinances. The world finds temporary peace and satisfaction through their own means, but as a Christian, we know that the worldly means end in destruction. That's a common theme throughout the Psalms, right? The way of the righteous and the way of destruction. It doesn't certainly end in peace, which we'll get to a little bit later. In verse 164, it says seven times a day, we continually praise him throughout the day. And how beautiful is a biblical worldview when we're able to see the things of this world, not just God's creation, but the events in this world, the events in our lives through the lens of Scripture, who God is, his sovereignty, his righteous ordinances. The result is, in the next verse, 165, those who love thy law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. And it's this peace that is so envious from the world. This phrase after that, and nothing causes them to stumble, in my Bible, it's cross-referenced to 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. Can you jog over there with me for a minute? 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. And I thought that this passage just kind of illuminated what that meant when it says, and nothing causes them to stumble. Because certainly we stumble, right? So let's see what that means. So verse 10, 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded him. There is no reason for us to stumble, because the Word of God has illuminated our way. It's given us a view of all the obstacles in our path, and it's also given us the means by which to navigate through those obstacles. So when it says that there's no cause to stumble, it's saying that there's no reason for it, that we could and we will stumble, but because we have God's Word, there's no cause for us to stumble, because we're able to navigate it. His ordinances are righteous and they are true. And so we're able to use this to properly navigate through any type of situation. Verse 166 and 67, I hope for thy salvation, O Lord, and do thy commandments. My soul keeps thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Once we experience this peace, we love his laws even more, because we want to experience that peace throughout every aspect of our life. And experiencing that means understanding God's law. And the more we understand God's law, we understand the fruits of how we act will end in our peace, ultimately glorifying God, which gives us peace. So that is why, as a Christian, once we experience that peace, we love his law and keep his commandments. 168 says, all my ways, I keep thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Our natural tendency is to want to control our own destiny, our own destiny. A Christian rejoices that our destiny is not in our own hands, but it's in the hands of a sovereign God who laid down his life for us. The next four verses, 169 to 172, I'll read them together. Let my cry come before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. Let my lips utter praise, for thou dost teach me thy statutes. Let my tongue sing of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. As Christians, we're confident as we go before the Lord with our cries and requests. We come before the throne in confidence because of what he says in his word. I think back through my life and praise him for not answering me according to the ways that I would have written it out or the ways that I have prayed. And I just think back as to how things would have been different. But even if I think back, you know, to the last couple of weeks and how I was praying even last week, I was praying for healing for friends, for resolution, for conflict, both in, you know, the world, our region, even this church. We're praying for those, and my response to his answer is the same as in verse 171 and 172. We have to utter praise, and we have to sing of thy word. And the only reason is because we know that his commandments are righteous. So we utter praise because they are righteous, but also because through the lens of Scripture, he tells us who he is and that his commandments are righteous. 173 says, let thy hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. Where else are we going to turn? I have decided, as Christians, we have decided, we have chosen, we have concluded, and are determined that his precepts are the formula to glorify his name. So because we have chosen that, and because we are striving for that, we also realize very quickly that we're going to need his help. And so that's why he says, please let thy hand be ready to help me. In 174, he says, I long for thy salvation, O Lord. Your salvation is the salvation I long for. We've seen the salvation that the world seeks after and that the world depends on. But we've also seen lives that have been lived according to his laws, and we've seen the peace that it has produced. So our law, the law, our choice is clear. The law must be our delight. And there's nothing in this world where else we can turn that's going to grant us that peace. Verse 175 then says how we should live. Let my soul live that it may praise thee, and let thy ordinances help me. How then should we live? Let our lives praise him. Of course, we cannot perfectly praise him, so we need his ordinances to continue to teach us. Verse 176 says, as a Christian, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. We remember in humility that we are not very smart. We are dumb sheep. We need a loving shepherd to chase after us, to seek us. When the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, we know his voice. So even when we go astray, we know that the Holy Spirit dwells in us and that he calls us back to safety. We know when he is calling us to change our lives for his sake, according to his word. So let us have the humility to live this out each and every day. Any questions or comments? Psalm 120. We'll move on. I know we've been in 119 for so long. Do we have prayer sheets?